Well, it happened again. Celtics blew another one with an awful third quarter. But hey, at least after this one, everyone was yelling at each other. It's a Friday Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hi, how are you doing? You okay? You doing all right after that? Do you need a second? Do you need a day to just decompress? Well, I'm here for you. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com. I'm their Boston Celtics beat reporter, and I'm trying to keep a happy tone because that really sucked. Boston Celtics lose game two, 106-101, and I am going to talk about it. Because that's what they pay me to do, even though I don't want to, because that happened again. And I feel like I could just cue up one of the last shows and have you listen to the same things that I said in that show, but I'll say new things. And in this one, I don't know if I'm going to have positives. There are a couple of positive things that happened. So basically, segment one, negatives. Segment two, some more negatives with a positive thrown in. I'm going to wait till segment three to address the yelling. If you didn't hear what happened, I'm sure you must have by now if you're listening to this podcast, but if you didn't, Marcus Smart and I guess others in the locker room get into a shouting match, swearing, throwing of things, people are pissed off. I'm going to wait till the third segment to talk about that. Let's just start with the game, which looked pretty good for a half, or most of a half. Boston Celtics had a 17-point lead at one point in that second quarter, and then the third quarter happened, and I knew it, just like everyone else knew it. They get that 17-point lead, and then at the end of the second quarter, they kind of sort of let up, just a little bit. Not much, but enough where it got down to 13. And you say, all right, well, it's not so bad. Dragic hits a shot. Butler hits a fadeaway jumper. It's not horrible. But that 17-point lead, instead of when it was 17 with 2.5 minutes to go, the Celtics do not score in the final 2.5 minutes. And they let Miami go into the half down 13 instead of down 20 or down 22 or 24. Once again, the Celtics miss an opportunity to pile on. Then the third quarter happens. And then the third quarter wasn't all bad. It wasn't all horrible. Now they come out and Bam Adebayo gets that alley-oop dunk right away, but Tice gets it right back with a dunk of his own. The Celtics are right there. It got to 15. So they're right there. But then there was a turning point where the Celtics had a stop. They were up 10. They get a stop, and it looks like, as Daniel Tice is diving on the floor, that the 24-second clock is going to run out. But it doesn't. It resets for some reason. And I'm surprised. I don't know how it didn't get reviewed, challenged. I don't know what happened there. But instead of a 24-second violation, it became a jump ball. The Heat win the jump ball, and Jay Crowder hits a three, is fouled, and it becomes a 4-point play. So instead of the Boston Celtics up 10 with the ball, it's the Boston Celtics up 6 with the ball. And that becomes a trigger for an 11-0 run. The Celtics could not handle that adversity. The second something like that went wrong, the whole thing went to shit. And this is where the Celtics, simply put, lack mental toughness. And as I've said, and as I've written, it's hard. I know in the bubble, I know that it gets harsh when people talk about that, and we really put harsh things on them. And it's this is tough. They're in a tough spot. I get it. But if you want to be a champion, you got to do this. They got no choice. If you want to be a champion, you got to be tougher. And maybe we're asking them too much, because they need to be tougher, and they're not. That adversity, they didn't find a way to score. They didn't find a way to stop that run, which they had done in the past. How many times have I talked about clutch shots coming in spots other than the fourth quarter? This is where a clutch shot would have been necessary, because in the midst of that run, they could have had something, somehow, find a way to score. And this is where I really think that the missing Gordon Hayward really hurts, because Miami puts this zone out there, and they put these bigs at the top of the zone. And it's hard for the Celtics to get through there. But I think Gordon Hayward can actually initiate the offense, and him being the size of some of Miami's bigs can probably get a pass over the top or through them, because he's able to, that's his forte. Like, that's what he does. But the Celtics unable to stop that run. And after that jump ball, you have Kelly Olynyk banking in a three-pointer to beat the shot clock. Another bad break that the Celtics they whiffed on that. Because the Celtics actually forced an air ball, and the shot clock person, who must be a Miami Heat fan, the shot clock person reset the shot clock to 14. So they have to blow the whistle, stop the play, reset it to 3 seconds, and then Kelly Olynyk gets this bullshit three-point bank shot in. Instead of the Celtics getting that air ball with 3 seconds left on the shot clock, a scramble, I think the ball was kind of going out of bounds, and instead of that, a stop, it becomes a Kelly Olynyk three-pointer. And that put Miami, they were up 2 at that point. So instead of a critical stop, the Heat get the ball back and hit a 3. So, and look, 2 shot clock things, the Celtics need to respond better to that stuff. They need to respond better to these bits of adversity. So this third quarter, they were outscored by 20 points, but they were outscored 23-6 over the last 6:19 of the quarter. That's where the whole thing went to shit. The last 6:19, where even after all of that stuff, they still had a 10-point lead, 69-59. 71-61 with 6:19 left, actually. Then you get that Crowder 4-point play, and it just all starts to go downhill. They couldn't stop Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo is destroying them. Alley-oop dunk. 30 seconds later, 20 seconds later, another dunk and one. Another 20 seconds later, a jumper, which I was okay with jumpers, but he's, I mean, at this point, he's on fire. Then another layup. They couldn't stop Bam Adebayo. And then Brad Stevens went to Enes Kanter, who, as a positive in the first half, was actually pretty good. He gave him good minutes in the first half. In the second half, we found out why he can't play against the Miami Heat. They actually said, oh, we forgot that we should be targeting him with pick and rolls, and they destroyed him. Bam Adebayo was just feasting on everybody, so it wasn't just Enes Kanter, but especially Enes Kanter. Bam Adebayo just destroyed the Celtics down that stretch. I mean, that's no one put a body on him, foul him, do something, get in his way. You know what they're trying to do. But the Celtics still couldn't. They couldn't hit a shot. They had bad turnovers. They had a ton of fouls. The same old story. Same old story. And the only thing I can come up with is they're just not strong enough. They're just not strong enough mentally. They can't keep their foot on the gas. They once they hit a little bit of adversity, once the other team makes a run, they can't respond like they're supposed to. In the fourth quarter, they actually made a comeback, and then Miami just flipped it around and turned around and made a run, which is what they're supposed to do. What Miami did after they blew a lead, they responded. So I'm going to take a break. There's a lot more. There's not much positive in here. I'm going to sprinkle them in, but this is just infuriating. For a Celtics fan, I just don't. There's such a bad taste in your mouth after a loss like this, which is probably why they were all yelling at each other. But that's a lot more on this is coming up. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. There are a few things that writers and podcasters like to do more than take a victory lap, and I'm going to take mine right now. I told you that Kemba Walker was fatigued. I had people coming at me saying, oh, no, you're just making excuses. Brad Stevens played Kemba Walker 34 minutes in this game, 33 minutes and 50 seconds to be precise. Kemba Walker, 23 points, 9 of 19 shooting, 4 of 11 from 3. That's 47.5%. That's above his average. Overall, 36.5% from 3. That's well above what he'd been shooting over the past 6 games. And he breaks out of his slump. Now, he had 5 turnovers, which is bad. So did Jason Tatum. That's not good. They combined for 10 turnovers. By the way, Miami, 9 total as a team. So that's very bad. But I told you in yesterday's podcast that watch for Kemba. We didn't even have to wait. I told you that we were going to get the answer when Gordon Hayward came back. We didn't even have to wait for that. That Kemba Walker was experiencing fatigue after playing all of those minutes. Was it 40, 43, 44, 52? Just too much for Kemba. He can't do that anymore. Whether it's his knee that can only take so much. He looked spry. His knee didn't look like it was bothering him in this game because he was playing normal minutes. And I think the bottom line here is that we've learned that Kemba Walker probably can't play 45 minutes. That's just, you're going to have to deal with maybe 34 is too few, but maybe you have to deal with 37, 38. Like, that's maybe his limit, which makes Gordon Hayward's return even more important because Gordon Hayward's going to have to eat up some of those minutes. Even if he can only play 20 to 25 when he returns, he's going to have to eat up some of those minutes. So Kemba looked good for the most part, and Brad Stevens basically acknowledged, he said after the game, I wanted to get him as fresh as possible for the end. So basically admitting Kemba was too tired after those 3 games. Now, maybe it's because of the cumulative effect of those 3 games. Maybe he can go out and pop off a 44-minute game at some point. And we just learned for sure that game 4 is on Wednesday. So hopefully the Celtics can get their asses in gear and in game 3 get a win, and then this way you get 3 days off instead of one. Game four is on Wednesday. Then you're back on track. You get a little bit of rest, get Kemba off his feet. Then you can start maybe bumping up his minutes a little bit. But clearly he was playing too many. Other negatives in this one. 20 turnovers for the Celtics is insane. 26 points off of those turnovers for Miami. Too horrible. And what really was bothersome about those turnovers was just how they were coming. I don't mind, like, there were a couple of early on, and I've said this a million times, I don't mind, you know, they're trying to get the ball. Kimbo was trying to get the ball to Marcus Smart, threw it over his head. Okay, that happens. The simple pass that Kimbo was trying to make to Jason Tatum on the right wing at the end of the game that Jimmy Butler just stuck his hand out, that's a simple pass. Like, that pass has to get through. That's not playing a passing lane. That's not being any kind of even special defender. It was just telegraphed, and Jimmy Butler stole it. And then Marcus Smart's inbound pass, that was a better play. But Jimmy Butler, this is the cliche. When you say Jimmy Butler wanted it more, damn it, there it is. Stealing the inbounds pass. I mean, no one is absolved of any blame here. Really bad play. There were some stretches there in the fourth quarter. A pass that went, I forget who made the pass to Jaylen Brown, that went through his hands out of bounds in the fourth quarter. That was just, it looked like, you look like me out there, and I'm 47 years old. Like, they look like me right now out there. That's how bad it looked. They look like they don't know how to play basketball anymore for these stretches. Now, is that frustration? Is that fatigue? Is that loss of focus? Miami is playing crisp basketball. When Boston is beating Miami, Boston is out there taking it to Miami and beating them. When Miami is beating Boston, Miami is still playing. Maybe they played a little harder, but Boston is completely falling apart. The 20 turnovers, a lot of them live ball turnovers, and the two Butler steals in the fourth quarter, you could see guys weren't running all the way back. They were just kind of done. It's really bad, and I think the Celtics should be embarrassed by that. Jason Tatum only took 2 3-pointers. That's not going to work. That's not going to work at all. Jason Tatum had a 21-point game. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Not bad. 6 of 12, but 0 of 2 from 3? Come on. Tatum needs to get better shots than that, but they're putting that length at the top of their zone, and it's bothering Tatum. And okay, fine. I want Tatum to drive, and in the beginning, in the first half, he was driving. He was so aggressive. It was great. And then it all went away. Some of it, I think, is on the Celtics. Some of it is definitely on the Miami Heat defense. Another way that Gordon Hayward's going to help whenever he comes back, hopefully he can help enough to change the tenor of that of the game and how the Celtics attack that defense. Got to get to the middle of that defense. Got to get to the middle and get from there. And you can't just dribble through it. You have to attack the gaps, pass, and then get somebody in the middle and pass to that person in the middle. And then that person, like when Kemba Walker found Marcus Smart in the first half on the baseline, it was perfect. It was perfect how you get past the zone. Kemba got into the middle. That guy steps up. Adebayo steps up. Marcus Smart working the back line, steps into the middle of the lane. Boom. Layup. I used to love when I saw a zone. I would hang back. I would almost stand out of bounds on the baseline and wait for somebody to get to the middle of the zone. And then I would just sneak right in. I mean, and this is me. You know, like when you look at me compared to what these guys do, it's nothing. And I know, get to the middle of the zone, get somebody along the baseline to come up behind those guys when they step up and you got to dump off passes all the time. It's basic. It's basic. You know, if I know this, they know this. But they don't do it. They don't do it enough. A sign of the Celtics defense. They had 13 fast break points in the first half. They did not have one fast break attempt. Not one fast break attempt in the second half. That's how bad the defense was. It all starts in the defense. And another damning stat, Celtics got into the penalty in the fourth quarter. Remember, after game one, part of what the Celtics, part of that collapse, Miami got Boston into the penalty with seven and change left to go, and they scored six free throws off penalty free throw attempts. Half of their comeback was at the line. The Celtics got Miami into the penalty with 8.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. This was it. This was part of their comeback. Two free throws the rest of the game. Two. That's inexcusable. So their defense was terrible. They weren't giving in the effort to force turnovers and get out into transition, which would have forced Miami back on their heels, which would have led to free throws, fouls on drives, reach-in fouls. This is basic stuff. The Celtics, again, same old story. Same old story. You got to do it on the defensive end. You got to lock up. Got to force some turnovers. Get out into transition. Draw the fouls. Get easy buckets. That gets Jaylen Brown going. That gets Jason Tatum going. That gets Kemba Walker going. That gets Marcus Smart some open shots. Marcus Smart struggled in this game, 5 of 13, because he was forcing it. He wasn't getting those open catch and shoots. Whenever Marcus Smart has a big game, it's open catch and shoots. I mean, I don't know how much more you can say about these guys. If they have to find it. And I don't know. I don't think they can find it. I don't think they have it. I don't think they have it. They haven't shown it. I hate to be harsh about it, but like, I don't think they have it in them. And I don't want to say this. I just don't think they have it. I think that instead of saying, wow, you know, they've got to figure out a way to avoid these lapses. I'm at a point now where I don't think they're going to avoid these lapses. We've just got to figure out where in the game that those lapses happen and hope it's early enough that maybe they can recover. That maybe somebody on the team can catch fire. Maybe Miami goes cold and you can come back. But those lapses are going to happen. They're going to have these stretches. And it's not just your typical everybody makes a run. Because, yeah, Miami's going to make a run. That's going to happen. Duncan Robinson's going to hit threes. Tyler Hero's going to hit threes. Jay Crowder's going to hit threes. Jimmy Butler's going to do Jimmy Butler things. Goran Dragic can score. I mean, they're good. This is a good team. It's an Eastern Conference Finals team. Of course they're going to make runs. Of course they are. Jimmy Butler's going to make some of those steals no matter what. Fine. Like, that's all part of it. But for it to happen like this, for Boston to just lay down, that's not acceptable. It's not a championship team. This is an Eastern Conference Finals team. They're not a finals team. They're not a championship team. Not playing like this. If they want to be a finals team, they got to cut this other shit out. That's the only chance. That's the only thing they've got. All right. Up next, the yelling, the screaming. What happened afterwards? Why I'm okay with it. I actually kind of like that it happened. That's next. I also kind of like Built Bar, which I have been eating every day since I got my new shipment. It's perfect for me. It's an after the gym kind of put protein and nutrients into my body after getting a good lift in. Now, Built Bars are delicious and they've been made even better after their kind of reformulation. They still have their 12 original flavors, but now 6 new flavors like caramel brownie, lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp. You can tell these are candy bar flavors. They taste like a candy bar, except they are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. So, me being a health conscious guy, I feel good. eating one. I feel good spending my own money to get a box of these. So whether you're looking to lose or maintain weight, this is fine if you want to indulge a little bit. I have the peanut butter ones. They're 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, just 5 grams of net carbs, so I can feel good about going through my workout, doing all my cardio and my lifting, and I know that this bar is not going to blow that out of the water. So go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your next order. Doesn't matter if you've used it before, you can use it again. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com to get $10 off your next order. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at LOCKEDON Celtics on Instagram. After the game, Gary Washburn, Malika Andrews, both were tweeting out that there was a ruckus coming from the Celtics locker room. Marcus Smart was heard yelling about things to see the Gary Washburn piece after the game. He was talking about the Marcus Smart walking to the bathroom saying, y'all on that bullshit. And I'm just going to read from what Wash wrote. He said, facing that reality about whatever the down two games to none. He says, quote, the Celtics locker room imploded after the game. The used to be close Celtics were screaming at each other. How come they can't score against the zone? Why did so-and-so take that bad shot? Why was Butler allowed to get two critical steals on hustle plays while the Celtics watched as Butler created two layups? Okay. Wash's piece is harsh. Like this is a sign of the apocalypse harsh. That these guys are no longer together and this is a sign of everything falling apart and forget it, pack it up, it's gone. That's bullshit. That's wrong. I actually, when I heard it, I was actually kind of happy. Now, I believe in just about any situation that expressing your emotions is good. Getting these emotions out is good. Get them out there and then you talk about them and figure it out and you can repair what was said. And after the explosion there in the post-game press conference, Kemba was like, it was nothing. Jason Tatum didn't want to talk about it. Brad Stevens just said emotions boiled over. Jaylen Brown actually was the only one who actually talked about it and says, yeah, look, families have ups and downs and, you know, whatever. He still kind of downplayed it. But personally, and I don't know if this is because I played, I've been on teams where you yell at each other. I've yelled at teammates. Teammates have yelled at me. Coaches have yelled at all of us. That happens. And after a game two loss where that all happened again, all the stuff I just talked about, yeah, I actually like the fact that there were emotions and people were pissed. Good. Get that out there. Put it all out there. You don't like the shot somebody was taking? You don't like how it went? We've talked all year long about the chemistry on this team, how much this team likes each other. Kemba Walker loves Marcus Smart, loves Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, part of Team USA, which was a year ago, going on right now, a year ago. These guys have been all over the place. They've been out together. We've talked about their chemistry, how much they like each other, how much it's worked on the court. They respect one another. They respect one another. And this is going to happen because Marcus Smart is a highly competitive guy. They're all highly competitive guys. And you know what's going to happen after all of this? Marcus Smart's going to go back and he's going to be like, look, I'm sorry I said what I said and how I said it, okay? But here's what I see, and I think we need to fix X, Y, Z, okay? I've done that a million times. I've done it at places of work outside of basketball. When I was working in TV, we'd have blow-ups all the time. I've stormed out of meetings, yelled at somebody, yelled at my boss. And then go back and be like, all right, look, I got a little out of control there. It's my fault. But you know what that shows? A passion, a desire to win. It's not just being a jerk. It's about, it's a passion. It's a desire to want whatever just happened to not happen. And when it goes the way it's gone over and over and over again, I expect there to be frustration. How do they respond from it? I don't know. Does everybody on the team get over it right away? I hope so. I can't guarantee it. But being on that stage, being on a team, having that pressure, it's going to result in these blow-ups, especially in this situation. It's not surprising to me. It's not. Now, I'm not there. I didn't hear every word that was said. I don't think any of it was personal. And these are all adults. So I don't think there's anything that could have been said in that locker room that makes it seem like, oh, all of a sudden this is, well, forget it. Let's go. It's a wrap. They yelled at one another. No. You get that out. You have a meeting in the morning. They probably, I'm recording this show at, I'm saying these words at 1:40 in the morning. So it's been hours since the game has ended. These guys are probably asleep or going to be going to sleep. I'm willing to bet that Marcus Smart is hanging out in somebody's hotel room with a bunch of the guys that he yelled at. Either now or he was. I'm pretty confident in that. That those guys have already communicated to each other. And they're going to communicate in the morning. And they're going to go through. And they're going to have an honest film session. And you know what? I really do believe, and this applies to everything across the board. Forget basketball. Just in life in general. It is so much better to get the truth and your feelings out there and have a conversation about, all right, this is what I think. Well, this is what I think. All right, well, let's figure this out. So these guys in their film session, I don't know if they're going to talk in the morning. I haven't even heard if the Celtics have a media session available or not, if the players are going to talk or not on Friday. But at some point, these guys are all going to sit down, they're going to watch the film, and they're going to talk to one another, and they're going to go through it. And they're going to be fine, because they're adults, and they get past it. I would much rather have what happened there than the guys just walk into the locker room, change up, walk out without saying anything. At least they give a shit. Throw something, be pissed off, show me something. I like it. I like it. So I hope you like the show. I hope this has helped somewhat. It's as much therapy for me as it is for you to talk this out. And we'll see. We'll see if this turns into something. I think there's a potential for something positive here. I think there's the potential for something positive. If they can figure this out, if this can be a turning point, then we'll forget just how bad these first two games were. Like I said before, I don't know if they have it in them, but I'm actually happy that the post-game stuff happened. So we'll see. I'll do a post-game show after game 3. And hopefully I have different things to say. So subscribe if you haven't subscribed. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard. I hope that you stick around. If you're a Heat listener, hope you've enjoyed this. You've probably laughed your ass off throughout half of it. So that's fine. I'll take your listens too. Hate listens are welcome. Just add them to the list. I'll take all listens. Regular listeners, Subscribers, thank you very much. You are the lifeblood of this show. I appreciate you more than you know. Thank you for the 5-star ratings. Thank you for the good written reviews. Thank you for making this the number one Boston Celtics podcast out there. I'm not just saying that. Go to the list. It is number one on top of the list. A lot of people can try to say it. I'm the only one who can be factual about it. So thank you. And thank you for sharing the podcast. Tell everybody they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.